Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, as you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently taking us on a series of studies that will provide us with an overview of the entire Bible. And today we begin looking at the ministry of the prophets. So let's turn in our Bibles to the book of Isaiah as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
The ministry of the prophets covered about a 450-year period from about 850 BC to 400 BC. The prophets are divided into major and minor based on the size of their writing. So when you hear that distinction, the major prophets or the minor prophets, it's not like some are more important than the others. It's that the major prophets, their writings were much longer than that of the minor prophets. There's 12 minor prophets and three major prophets. Joel, Jonah, Amos, Hosea, Micah, Isaiah, Nahum, and Zephaniah prophesied between the years 850 and 620. Habakkuk and Jeremiah prophesied right through the Babylonian siege of Jerusalem to 586 BC. Daniel, Ezekiel, Obadiah prophesied during the Babylonian exile, and Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi prophesied after the Babylonian exile. The prophets mingled warnings of judgment and promises of blessing to Israel, both near and far off. So the prophets were speaking to them in their generation. They were warning them against their continued rebellion against the Lord. They were encouraging them that blessing would come as a result of obedience. But they were also quite often going way out beyond the generation that was living at the time and prophesying of things out into the future and all the way down to the present day, and then, of course, even further out than we are presently. They spoke of the ultimate defeat of God's enemies and the ultimate victory of God's people. They often spoke of the glorious kingdom age to come. They spoke of Messiah's suffering and humiliation and of his triumph and eternal reign of righteousness. So, as we've been doing with each of the books that we've been looking at, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, the book itself, looking at the theme, looking at some key chapters, looking at some key verses. So we'll continue to do that with the prophets. But I got to tell you, this was very challenging, especially with these three major prophets, because Isaiah has 66 chapters, Jeremiah has 52 chapters, and Ezekiel has 48 chapters. And trying to pick out the key chapters, trying to pick out key verses. Like I've said before, you know, this is to a large degree just my own personal perspective on it. But, you know, there's no way that we could take the time to really delve deeply into each of these prophets. But again, you know, we're a bit limited here. And so we begin with Isaiah. Isaiah is the most frequently quoted prophet in the New Testament. And as you look at the the messianic aspect of prophecy, there are three prophets out of all of them that all of them to some degree or another had messianic references, most of the time to the messianic kingdom and some of the times to the person of the Messiah. But Isaiah, Daniel, and Zechariah are the primary messianic prophets. And Isaiah even probably more so than Daniel or Zechariah. But Isaiah prophesied in Judah. Now remember, there came a point in the history where the nation was divided. Originally, it was one nation under the monarchy, first of all, of Saul, and then under the Davidic monarchy. But after the death of Solomon, the kingdom split, and there was a northern kingdom that was predominantly referred to as Israel, and the southern kingdom was referred to as Judah. And so Isaiah prophesied in Judah, and he prophesied during the reigns of four kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Uzziah was a decent king, Jotham was not a good king, Ahaz was a horrible king, Hezekiah was a great king. So it was during the reigns of these men that Isaiah prophesied between the years 740 and 680 BC. So during the time of Isaiah's prophecy, Israel, the northern kingdom, was taken into captivity by the Assyrians, and Judah was invaded by the Assyrian king Sennacherib. So over this long period of time, a lot of things took place while Isaiah was prophesying. There is a Talmudic story that Isaiah was martyred by Manasseh, that he was actually sawn in two by Manasseh. Whether or not that actually did happen, we're not totally positive, but it's interesting. In the book of Hebrews, maybe you remember reading that reference there to some were sawn asunder, is what it says in the Old King James Version. They were sawn in half, and that could be the reference back to what happened with Isaiah. Now, the theme of Isaiah's prophecy is the glory of God, the Messiah, and the Messianic kingdom. That would, if you had to come up with a theme, that would more or less be the theme. Isaiah has this amazing way of expounding, describing the greatness of God, the majesty of God, the glory of God in so many places throughout his prophecy. It's the glory of God that's being magnified. And then he is, as I said earlier, he's the primary messianic prophet. Now, key chapters. This is, like I said earlier, where it gets really tough. Chapter 6, but chapters 1 through 5 are great. But chapter 6 is a key because chapter 6 records the calling of Isaiah to prophesy. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting upon his throne. The train of his robe filled the temple. The cherubim were crying, holy, holy, holy. And Isaiah there says, woe is me. And God says, who will go for us? Isaiah says, I will go, send me. So there in the sixth chapter, we have the record of the call of Isaiah. And then in chapter 7 through 9 are very messianic. They're prophesying of near events, but in that there's also messianic elements. Of course, Isaiah 7:14 is the great prophecy of the virgin birth. Behold, the virgin shall conceive, bear a son, you shall call his name Emmanuel. And then following through chapter 7, chapter 8, and then into chapter 9, we come to the great prophecy, which is, kind of concluding that began in chapter 7, that great prophecy, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and so forth. So that's Isaiah 7 through 9. Then in the 11th chapter of Isaiah, we have a great and amazing description of the kingdom age. You know, if you want to know what the world is going to be like when Jesus returns, read Isaiah chapter 11. It's a beautiful picture that is painted for us there. And chapter 35 is very similar to chapter 11 in as much as it's a description given to us of the world restored to God's original intent when the Messiah returns. So chapter 11, chapter 35, but let me just make a comment on chapter 14. Chapter 14 is a very interesting chapter in as much as chapter 14, like chapter 28 of Ezekiel that we'll talk about in a few minutes, gives us insight to the person that we know as the devil or Satan and tells us about his existence prior to his rebellion. And Isaiah 14 actually gives us a description of how Satan became Satan, of how this angelic being revolted against God. So when you get to chapter 40, it's almost like Isaiah 1 through 39 are focusing in on more or less the present, although, of course, Isaiah continues to look out into the distant future. But when you get to chapter 40, all the way through the rest of the book, it is primarily looking far, far into the future. And Isaiah 40 through 55 are some of the greatest chapters in the Bible for personal encouragement when we are going through seasons of discouragement. As I said when we were looking, doing our overview of Job, I told you guys that oftentimes I'll take and just read the last four chapters of Job. I do the same thing with Isaiah 40 through 55. Sometimes rather than, you know, reading through the whole book of Isaiah, I'll just start in 40 and make my way through 55 and meditate, because it's in that portion of scripture there that there are so many encouraging statements. Now, the original intended audience, of course, would be Israel. But there is also an application for God's people for all time individually. So there's so much that we can personally draw from those chapters, Isaiah 40 through 55. Another key chapter would be Isaiah 61, the great prophecy there. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That whole passage that Jesus fulfilled that we're told about in Luke chapter 4 is there in Isaiah 61. And then in Isaiah 65, there's references to the new heaven and the new earth. So those are the key chapters from my personal point of view. You might be saying, but wait, Brian, what about this chapter or that chapter? Yes, you're right too. Those are good chapters. So the book is full of great chapters, you know. I probably just should have said key chapters, 1 through 66. Those are the key chapters. But key verses, and this is even more difficult to come up with key chapters, key verses. I mean, we could just go on probably just reading verses from Isaiah. They're just incredible verses, great words of encouragement, and just so many wonderful things. But I've just chosen two key verses. Isaiah 40, 28 through 31, one of my favorite portions of scripture. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Man, I just love those verses. And they have been a great encouragement to me throughout my life as a Christian. And especially in, you know, challenging times, in times of weakness, and in times of, you know, feeling like I'm fainting. These words have been brought to my heart so powerfully by the Spirit of God. Isaiah 53, probably the greatest chapter in the entire Old Testament. Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised or crushed for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And of course, that is that great prophecy of the suffering of Christ, the death of Christ, the victory of Christ over the grave, the vicarious atonement that he provided for us by dying in our place and bearing our sin. That's that great passage there, Isaiah 53. If you want to commit scripture to memory, I recommend Isaiah 53. Work on memorizing Isaiah 53. It's just the most powerful, wonderful passage. Just to be able to recall it, to be able to meditate on it, to be able to think on it. You know how, you know, I'm sure we all have that experience where certain verses just kind of leap off the page, don't they? You know, you're reading through and all of a sudden, boom, it's like, wow, that's, man, that's powerful. That's heavy. And when I was a young Christian, when that would happen to me, I would highlight that and I would oftentimes take like a 3x5 card or something and I would just write that verse out and I'd stick it in my back pocket. And I'd go off to work or whatever I was doing. And just throughout the day, I'd pull it out. I'd read it over and meditate on it. And, you know, through a process of time, I was able to memorize those verses. And over all of these years now, sometimes I think, man, I'm so glad I memorized verses when I was young because I can't remember anything today. And so often, you know, when I'm giving out verses by memory, it's stuff that's been in my head for 30 years. So a great practice, really, to memorize scripture. As David said in the Psalms, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." So as we store God's word in our heart, Isaiah 53, a great text to meditate on and to memorize. So moving from Isaiah, we come now to the prophet Jeremiah. There's about 100 years between these two prophets. Jeremiah began his prophecy about the year 626 BC. So we know almost the exact date of Jeremiah's prophecy because he began to prophesy in the 13th year of King Josiah. Now, Josiah was another one of the great kings in the history of Judah. There were just a handful. In the northern kingdom in Israel, there were no good kings. Never a one. In the southern kingdom, there were a handful of good kings. Josiah was one of those good kings. He was the grandson of Hezekiah, who Isaiah prophesied during the period of Hezekiah. And interestingly, Josiah and Jeremiah were approximately the same age as well. So you had an interesting thing going on at the time. You had this young king, because Josiah came to the throne when he was 8 years old, and he really began to sort of flex his spiritual muscles when he was in his early 20s and seek to lead the nation back into righteousness. And right there simultaneously, Jeremiah was prophesying pretty much alongside of Josiah. The tragedy, though, is that the people never did repent or turn back to the Lord. So the theme of Jeremiah is judgment. That's pretty much the theme. The continual warning of a judgment that's going to come, but then there's always along with it the call from the Lord to turn, to avert the judgment, and then there's also the promises of future blessing as God will have mercy on the nation. So Jeremiah prophesied right through the destruction of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar. He was prophesying as the Babylonians were coming against Judah, and he prophesied right through the destruction of the city, lived through that whole thing, was treated graciously by Nebuchadnezzar, and eventually he was allowed to stay in Jerusalem even after the destruction by the Babylonians, but eventually he was taken to Egypt, and we don't know anything about him beyond that point. He probably died in Egypt. So, key chapters in Jeremiah. Again, this is a very difficult one to pinpoint. Jeremiah is very interesting in this regard as well. Jeremiah's prophecies are, a lot of it is looking at it from the personal perspective of Jeremiah. Where Isaiah, throughout Isaiah's prophecy, we don't hear too much about Isaiah himself. He's more just that mouthpiece. He's just speaking the word of the Lord. Where as we go through Jeremiah, we find that we're right there with Jeremiah. We're there with his struggles. He's been referred to as the weeping prophet. He was the prophet who God called him to basically stand up and speak up in the midst of a rebellious and a wicked nation. And he was radically persecuted during the time of his prophecy. He was cast in prison. He was put in a pit. He was beaten. He suffered quite a bit of persecution at the hands of his people. And throughout his prophecy, there are those descriptions of the things that he was going through. Some people say about Jeremiah, sometimes you'll hear pastors sort of semi-tongue-in-cheek referring to their ministry being sort of a Jeremiah ministry. A Jeremiah ministry is a ministry where you preach and preach and preach and nobody ever listens to you. Nobody ever, you know, there's no visible fruit from your labors. That's kind of how it was for Jeremiah. He spent his whole life trying to awaken the nation and see them turn back to the Lord, and that never happened. So what are the key chapters? Well, chapter 1 is a key chapter because it records for us the call of Jeremiah. And it'd probably be good just to look at that for just a second, because it's really an interesting picture of how Jeremiah was called. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nation." So this is what God's saying to Isaiah. "I ordained you to be my prophet before you were ever born. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say, I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down, to plant, and to build." So amazing. And notice Jeremiah's response, "Lord, I can't do this. Why? I'm too young. I'm a youth." Jeremiah was one of those that was called in his youth to stand against the nation. And what a great encouragement he is to the younger generation to take a stand. So, chapter 1, key chapter. Chapter 5, I would say, would be a key chapter there. The broken cisterns that could hold no water, God's people committing two evils, forsaking him, the fountain of water, hewing out cisterns that can hold no water. Chapter 5 is where you find those references there. Chapter 10, chapter 12. In chapter 12, it's interesting because here you find Jeremiah, you know, saying to the Lord, you know, kind of like, "Lord, you know, you sort of tricked me into this job. You know, had you told me what was in store, I probably wouldn't have signed up." You know, sometimes we feel that way. Sometimes things aren't like we thought they were going to be. But Jeremiah, he says similar kinds of things. Chapter 17 is a great chapter. Chapter 23, we'll give a quote from there in a moment. a great chapter, chapter 29. How many of you guys are familiar with the verse, "For I know the thoughts I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope"? That's Jeremiah 29:11.
We'll continue with more of this overview of the entire Bible in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with more valuable insights from the book of Jeremiah. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled "The Overview of Isaiah and Jeremiah." Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BBM-099. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
Turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.